that you and I are going to have to deal with this great cloud of witnesses. Because if one man in his day found God's grace and favor, why can't we all? Why can't we all do it? Then he goes on and says, by faith, Enoch. Wait a minute. That's five generations from Abel, or from Abel. Five generations. Surely there was others. I hope there was others. But the writer got a hold of it and said, by faith, Enoch. We got a cloud going here, folks. We got some people that believe in God. We got some people that is standing in their day and time against the elements that come against them and are proclaiming God. And now, by faith, again, by faith, there's a man called Enoch. He walked with God. It was said of him he pleased God. And he walked with God. What a testimony. Just put into this cloud. Do you mean to tell me, I suppose I can take it from a witness, can I? Someone that done it? Can I take it from a witness that a man can live close enough to the Lord to be pleasing God? Yeah, because there's one in the cloud that said it. There's one in the cloud that lived in his day. He walked with God to the point that God didn't, he didn't die. God translated him. God took him on. Why? Because he walked so close with God in his day. He added to a rising cloud of witnesses that will stand forever as witnesses to humanity. Because these people were able to, in their day, find favor with God. By faith, Enoch was faithful. Thank God that he was. Thank the Lord that there's a man that in his day and time, back there in the ancient day, I don't know what all that meant, but I know this. He believed God. He trusted in the Lord. He believed in him. And he was mentioned. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah. Noah increased the cloud. The cloud's getting heavier. It's getting fuller. Got a witnessing power going on here. If one man says it, is that believable? Another one comes down five generations later and says the same thing. You can live a life that's acceptable to God by faith. So much so that he was translated and now the cloud's starting, a believable thing starting. It's witnessed. It's witnessed throughout time from the beginning, the five generations. Now another three generations, another man rises up. And in a time of perverseness, in a time that the Bible says that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. They never had a good thought. They never had a good intention. They were feeding the flesh. They was going after the flesh. They were doing evil. They were thinking lustful, corrupting. There was covetousness and envy and strife. And that's what their hearts was continually. All, not all, by faith, Noah. He witnessed a testimony. Inhuman, superhero, stronger than you and I, or smarter, more intelligent. He had some great capabilities. Half angel maybe. What did he have? None of that. He said, by faith. A man believed God, longed for him, desired to have the righteous things in his life. And by faith, Noah. You know Noah condemn the world? You know why? Because if one man can do it, we all can. He condemned the world because looking down, he loved God. If Noah could do it, they all could have. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things that not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and become heir of the righteousness of by faith. And we say in our day, we live in an ungodly world, it's true. We live in a time that the winds of this world are blowing strong. And we are in that. And the influences that are around are incredible. They're strong. They're incredible. It wasn't Noah's day. They was blowing hard. These people had no thoughts of God. They was only evil continually in their hearts and minds and faced in there. What did he do? Did he go into a commune somewhere? What did Noah do? Had faith in God. He had faith in God and lived for God in the middle of it and seeing things as it was not yet seen. No one had ever seen the catastrophe that had been predicted. No one had ever seen it or understood it, and yet he moved with fear. By faith, he moved with fear, believing God, and built an ark anyway. There wasn't any human witness to it. There was nothing that made you to see it with your eyes. There was no evidence, I'm saying. There was no earthly evidence. The water wasn't getting closer and closer. There wasn't a progression here. Nothing was going on to get him on, to encourage him on, that maybe they're going to have to float this thing someday. But he built peg after peg, saw board after board. He worked over anyway, and he kept a hold of it. I've said many times, Lord help me. Seemed like when I first got saved and I got wonderfully saved, it would have been just real good if the Lord had just come and popped me out of here. Took me on to heaven. But it don't work that way. Now I've had to endure some years and had to go through some battles. Failed some, won some. Lord blesses, Lord's good. All those things. But I look at it many times and think of, oh no, we're going 120 years pounding one board after another by faith, hanging on to a promise that he was given of God when the whole world around him was falling apart. Boy, did he add to the cloud. There's a witnessing power in Noah. Noah raised the cloud up. Now there's more than just one. This has come down all the way down. These people had some knowledge of things like that. This wasn't totally out of their realms. Oh, Noah built. He built an ark. And he condemned the world. If one man can do it. He said, by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham. He skips quite a while, don't he? Wonder what all went on from that time from Noah to Abraham. But the world was in its declining stages again. And he found a man. Oh, Abraham. In a heathen, idolatrous country. All around him was idolatry. But down in the heart, there was a man that had received through the time the fact that there was a true God somewhere. I don't know how much he even knew, but God come and visited him. And by faith, Abraham added to the cloud. Back in his day and time, he witnessed a strong and powerful testimony. Listen to the way this is written, because I think it's interesting. By faith, Abraham goes on down, tells about him. By faith, Sarah goes on and talks about the different ones. And by faith, Isaac. And that's in the 20th verse. By faith, Jacob. Boy, old Abraham must have got a hold of something. This thing's following him close. Sarah, his wife. He influenced her by faith into a God that he believed in. By faith, he added to the cloud. By faith, here's Isaac. Isaac's his son, 20th verse. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. Something will happen there with Abraham. He witnessed a strong witness of God. Had faith in God. He was a man of God. It followed him down through. And it had a powerful witness to it. But he wasn't witnessing things himself, folks. He was in a cloud. I think that's valuable. It's not one man crying and just one man having a thing. This thing has been proven. God is true. It's been proven through the ages. He proved himself all the way down. But from the beginning of time, he's touched men's heart. He's proved it. He's God. Over and over. He's still proving himself to be God. Still proves it to be God. The cloud is beginning to grow. If you can see it by faith, through the ages, a cloud growing. That you and I are going to have to give an account for it too. Because every one of these men faced their challenges of their day. Every one of these men had their heartaches. They had their challenge. Every one of these men had difficult times. You say, oh, we live in the most difficult time. You live in a time God put you in. These men lived in a time God put them in. And they come out as a witness and said, God is real. And God is God. And I take God's way. And in perverse times, the witness shines forth. And Paul got a hold of that and he called it a cloud. Something being stirred. Something rising. It's cloud. Folks, listen. I'd like to think that the cloud's getting bigger. Now that's up to us. But this cloud, there's faithful men. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Isaac. By faith, Jacob. There was another one. He ain't skipping generations now. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. Four in a row. I'm telling you, Abraham had a powerful witness. They call him the father of faith for a reason. He believed in God. Powerfully, strongly believed in God. And he witnessed it with all his heart. He gave up his all to God. He gave it up all, and he was a man of faith. And it stuck. And the cloud grows. By faith, Moses. By faith, Moses. There will come a time. What was it? Many, many years. 400 years, I think, the Israelites was in the land of Goshen. Crying for a deliverance. They got to a place down there. God heard their cries. And now there's a man, chosen of God, prepared from his birth, true. But there come a time that he had to make a decision. By faith, Moses. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, heir to the highest position on earth. Highest worldly position on earth. And he refused it. Why would a man do that? There must have been people of his day said, Moses, you've done lost it. What we wouldn't do, I'd cut off my left hand to be the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. I'd do anything to be in the palace walls. What I wouldn't do to have the prestige that you have, and you're throwing it away. Moses, what are you doing? Living by faith. Witnessing to a great cloud. Who is this Abraham anyway? What is my heritage here anyway? Who was Abraham? Who was Isaac and Jacob and Joseph? Who were they? And he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Folks, these kind of people are in the cloud. These kind of people are testifying and witnessing to us of what it means to live for God. And what you can do. And what you can give up and what you ought to give up. And what kind of stands you ought to take and how you ought to square up your soul and where you should plant your feet and leave them planted. And what you ought to stand for. And what you ought to believe in. And what you ought to give your life for. And Moses refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. And he gave it up. For what? Moses, you've done went bonkers. choosing rather to suffer affliction. You think that was the category of being the son of the Pharaoh's daughter? It'd have been catered to all the way down, have anything he wanted. And he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And I'm going to tell you another piece goes up into the cloud, and the cloud gets larger. Now there's a man that forsook all he had in life to suffer for Christ, to be a part of a greater plan and scheme of mankind, to be a part of something that's bigger and more enduring. The heirs of the Egyptians are over fighting around now. For what? They lost their prestige a long time ago, but the kingdom that Moses belongs to will never lose its glory. The cloud grows. And Moses was an instrumental part of a witnessing and a powerful witness that this has, that God's God. In Moses' lifetime, God worked great miracles, great work of delivering the people out of Egypt, to bringing them to where they was at. God worked with them and worked through Moses to many marvelous things. He worked and he testified to you and I that we can stand for God. And when it looked like things was falling apart, how many times do you suppose Moses was shaking his head with the things that went on around him? And how many times he was wondering, where's this whole thing going to end up? Now there, all of a sudden he's a great hero, and all of a sudden he's just a chump. He's a guy that can't run anybody's affair. All of a sudden he's great. All of a sudden he's nuts. Now they like him. Now they don't. Now they want to stone him. Now they want to get rid of him. Now they're claiming he ain't our leader at all. How many times do you think Moses went through that over and over, and he witnessed the witness anyway? He testified of how good and how big and how wonderful, how great God is. And he stood true. Now, oh, he had his things too. He was a human and living in a world, and he had his times and his temptations and his things. But he wouldn't let go. And he held on. By faith, Moses. By faith, it says here, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith. I'm amazed at that because I've dealt with people some. And there's no criticism here at all, because when I say people, of course, I happen to be one. So people includes me. But you can't hardly get everybody to walk a straight line out here. You can't hardly get, if you get a half a dozen people together, you'll have a time getting them to do something and unified and get them together. And you can ask and you can talk and you can think what the better way to do things is. We never learn. You ever notice people on the highway? Do you know they'll warn sometimes that there's going to be just one lane, and they'll warn 10 miles back? Do you know why they do that 10 miles back? And if there's anybody in here, I'm just going to give you a little bit of a driving lesson now. Where they say the right lane ends in 10 miles, what they're trying to say to you is get over in the left lane, maintain a steady speed, and everybody will go through the bottleneck. And you won't be bottlenecked. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Anybody out there on there, do you ever see that work? It'll stop you an hour sometimes because nobody wants to do that. It's really plain. Do you know it's a benefit to you to do it? You'll get through that bottleneck quicker if you do that. You get over that right lane and you run up there to a quarter of a mile and try to get in. But you can't get people to do anything. But by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Now how? What? Do you know why that was able to do that? Because those children of Israel was over 40 years in the wilderness, and it weeded out all those people that didn't want to get over there at the 10-mile marker. That's why. And when they come time to cross that, the earnest people crossed Jordan. The ones that wanted that land and was going to go get it, and they was going to listen to God to do it. And they witnessed forever the fact that we can get along. We can do what God said. We can work together. The great testimony's been made. The walls of Jericho fell down at the power of God, but it wasn't just the power of God, because He could have wiped it out anytime He wanted to. No, it said by faith the walls of Jericho fell down by a unified... Folks, not just a handful either, not the army. Do you know all the children of Israel was involved in that? And they told them to march around there and be quiet? Now, can you imagine telling that many people, you're going to march around here and be quiet? You can't get that kind of behavior in worship service. You can't get people not to talk and not to... You can't do it. These people, by faith, they wanted something, folks, and they testified something. And Lord, help my passion here. But I'll tell you, well, this means something. It was not about being in slugging in indifferently and not caring. I don't care if I go to worship service and I don't, I'll go when I want, and I don't go if I'm going, and I don't do that. We have a testament. We have a cloud. We have a cloud, a great cloud of witnesses. The witnesses that this is important. This is your life. This is eternity. This is about God. It's about the future of... Noah saved his family too. Abraham influenced Jacob, Isaac, and Joseph. Four generations down. This is about the important things. All of us are going to have to leave this world, but how? It's important. And this is a day of lethargy and indifference, and Lord help me. But it is. But there's a cloud. You think that we live in the only indifferent time? Noah didn't have enough people to have a good prayer meeting. Indifferent? Don't care about anything? Given to the flesh? Sure. But folks, this is important. And there's a great witness laid before us by faith. The walls of Jericho fell down. Is any walls around your life? Is there any hindrances in our life? Is there any family troubles? Is there any people, any of our family members lost? Folks, if they're lost, they'll be lost forever. If they go out here lost, it'll be forever. That's as urgent as it gets. There's no other opportunity or chance to do it. How serious is it? How much passion can we have in it? How much are we allowed to have? How much ought we to have? Lord, help us. It stirs my heart to see the indifferent attitude about God. What happened to the carefulness that it wrought in you? But by faith, it was a cloud of witnesses. This goes on and mentions, by faith, the harlot Rahab. Yeah, she testifies too. What did she testify? She testified of a person outside. She testifies of someone without the genealogy. And she testified a couple important things, folks. She testified her heart to believe and God's willingness to receive her. We like to look and say, God, well, Israel was God's faithful when He shunned everybody else. No, He didn't. Did you know you could become a Jew? If you'd believe, you could be. And Rahab witnessed to the fact that, folks, I don't know how you do things. I don't know how things are supposed to be. I don't know anything. But I want righteousness in my life. I want to be right. I want something good. And God witnesses back. But this woman's in the cloud. She's in the cloud. She's in there for everyone that don't have this lineage. She's in there for everyone that don't understand. She's in there for everyone. Do you know God accepts this where it's at? thank God he did, because there was a time that that's who I was. I didn't know anything. But I knew this. I really wanted to serve the Lord. I just didn't know how to do it. And God accepted it. And it goes forever into a cloud of witnesses. The writer goes on. And he begins to say it this way. He got the essence of it, then he started rolling on to the quantity of it, the power of it. But I can't miss it at all, he said. It would be impossible for me to sit here and write to you what makes a cloud. This cloud. This has been enjoined in things that you and I will never know. There have been those that added to this cloud. Some old faithful grandmother that just would not give it up. Some man that was tortured to death and wouldn't give it up. He said of Samson, of Jephthah. You remember that character? He witnessed. Do you remember those that went on after? He said of those, all of those, you can hardly speak of Gideon and of all of those, and of those that was willing to die. Die, folks. Die. I mean, literally, die. Give their lives up. It's what, to them, what that they witnessed it, that my life is not dear unto myself. I'd rather serve God than have this life. And they gave it up. Of those that went to the sword, the lions, to those that were sawn asunder. Some of them, the testimony was so strong, so powerful, that they said in them, I'd rather be a part of the cloud than to be delivered. I want this, I passion. You believe this? I passion so much God and His cause that I'm willing to not be delivered. I don't want to be delivered. I want the name of God to be exalted. It's my everything. It's all that I ever want. It's what I desire of me and my life is that God be exalted, and I will not accept deliverance. And the cloud grows stronger. Now it's got a powerful testimony in it. It's endured the ages, folks. You and I look at it. I know there's a lot of debate out there. Is this thing real? The devil's challenging it. And the scientists are challenging it. The world's challenging it. Is this thing real? Come down through the ages. A great cloud of witnesses proclaiming it to be real. To proclaiming God to be God. On His throne, God. This came to the time of Paul, and Paul wrote it very powerfully here. This is what the 12th chapter starts off with, is the power of this testimony. This thing is in heaven, folks. This is eternal. These people have made their witness, and it's a powerful, written, acknowledged testimony of people's lives. It is settled. They gave it. It is forever eternal. Now, this isn't subject to speculation. God witnessed it. So it's true. Every bit of it. And Paul wrote it and powerfully used it. But Paul didn't have the ability to go beyond his generation talking about the cloud. We do. The cloud didn't stop. The cloud didn't stop. There was a man named Stephen. Paul wrote to this one. There's a man named Stephen. He come with the same spirit, the same drive, the same desire to have God exalted above everything else. And he laid his life down for it. And he goes in to the records as being a part of the cloud. And he says with his life, I'm going to serve God. He gave his brethren a good Holy Ghost mouthful. And they started stoning him. And he goes down as a witness of this cloud that there is no room for malice or hatred in our hearts against those that would come against us. It's witnessed. What more can you say? It's witnessed by blood. He gave his life to do it. And he asked the Lord not to lay it to their charge. I become about this small when I start having feelings contrary to that. And I remember the witness.
and say, Lord, help me. Help me to be a part of this testimony of God in people's lives. Paul testified his own. I'm going to say Paul entered the cloud here. There was a time that Paul said, you can see it in the 4th chapter of 2 Timothy, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. Don't weep for me. There's a crown laid up for me, he said. Oh, I'm waiting. There's a cloud waiting for me. Not for me only. Paul's about to enter the cloud. He was shortly beheaded. Beheaded. But what was his testimony? I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I was able, thank the Lord, to keep the faith. And now, oh, they think they're doing me harm. They think they're doing me a favor. They're about to eternally favor me. Do you see this that real? He did. And he went into the cloud. I don't know, next day or so, shortly thereafter, he enters the cloud too. And the cloud grows. It didn't stop with him. History says Peter was put upside down at his own request. Why would Peter, the one that denied the Lord there, why did he want to be hung upside down? Because his passion was running hot. That's why. It's because the Lord was hung upside. He was hung. He was crucified upside right. And Peter didn't feel worthy to be done like the Lord was done. So he asked a favor. Would you? This is history. I don't know that it's valid or not valid. It's just history. But it says he asked them to turn it, and they granted him his wish. And they crucified him upside down. And he added to his own displeasure. He added to his own hurt. But he also added to the cloud that day too. A cloud of witnesses. The witnesses that I am not indifferent about this. I am passionate. And it means more to me than anything else. And if I have to suffer a little harder or a little longer, or whatever it takes, to witness a better witness, it's what I'll do. Because it means that much to me. And it goes on beyond Peter. It went into the age of the martyrs. Revelation talks about those people that gave themselves. And their voices still cry out of the cloud the night as a testimony of people that was able to live in the most gruesome times against the most heavy persecuted, tortured, not just died, they tortured them. And they went willingly. Lord, help us. I want to be in the cloud. But I'm not standing up here trying to be bigger than I am. It challenges me with these kind of witnesses. Lord, help me. Well, how am I going to be able to do that? I don't think I can do it. I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't think I can do it. Unless the Lord helps me. Lord, I need you real bad to live in this time and keep myself pure. Anybody else feel that? Do you feel the pressure of this time to just keep a pure heart? To keep my mind to where it's supposed to be? I don't really worry about being gunned down outside this door. But I'm attacked in my thinking. I'm attacked in my thoughts. And then there's, oh no, I learned from the ages. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can be faithful. There's no evil. I learned from the times. You can walk and be acceptable. There's no Enoch declaring it. The martyrs declaring it. It didn't stop at the age of the martyrs, folks. There is people I know and am convinced that's in the cloud tonight. They're a part of the testimony that testified to my life. I've mentioned her many times. My grandmother, she didn't mount a whole lot. A lot of you didn't know her. Some of you did. It's always referred to as Sister Clevenger. Little old woman. Didn't do a whole lot. Didn't say a whole lot. But she witnessed to me. Because she stood it alone. She done it against ridicule. She done it in the face of people that didn't care for it. She done it though. She done it against all the pressures that was against her, and she stood up strong to it. She vocalized it. She told him she loved the Lord. She lived it. And I think she's there tonight. Because it ain't the great things always. Sometimes it's the small. It's doing what we can do and witnessing to that and to that effect. We have witnesses that witnessed right before us. We had a man up home. Some of you folks knew him. We called him Brother Jim. Old Brother Jim would have been the last one to tell you he didn't have his struggles and his times. And called me many times dealing with the things that challenged him in his life. Brother Tony could attest to the same thing. Knew him well. Prayed with him. Those kind of things. But he was true. He loved the Lord. And he loved the Lord enough to tell people that he did. And he had the Spirit of the Lord, I believe, in his life enough to touch and touch people's lives. And I marveled at the man that was able to witness to other people's. Linda and I, after we was married, went up and took a train ride with him up on the cast train. And I was amazing. It was just amazing. Before we got off of there, Brother Jim had talked to and made friends with just about everybody on the car. And had some of them in tears, and there were some of them that called him over the time and came to his funeral and called him when he was sick. And he met him on a train. And he testifies, folks. And Brother Jim was a hard man, not given to friendliness or hospitality at all. But the Lord got a hold of him, and he witnessed the testimony of what God can do in a person's life. And we all have... Folks, God wants us to enter in to the cloud. He wants us to take a hold of what these faithful men that you had them here. You had the same ones here. You had the faithful ones here. You had those that would not let go of it for anything. We had them at home. We had Brother Sammons that lived his life, that gave to the Lord. He had passion. Sure, he was a man, we know it, but he gave to the Lord. I believe he's in the cloud. We had a little old man up there named Brother Golden Arbogast. Oh, he done what he could do. He wrote his own songs and he sang his own songs. And he loved God. And he testified. And he testified his testimony in my life. He's a part of the cloud. He's a part of the ones that held true and faithful through the years. And it stirs my heart to think of these men that did that. I'm going to tell you a little about Brother Jim White. Brother Jim, over the years, as he saw himself getting older, he said, I don't know what to do. He said many times, I'm thinking about going up to Ohio. His daughters lived up there. He was worried about the time that he couldn't care for himself. He knew he was getting older. And he's concerned about that kind of a thing. What's going to happen with me? And what am I going to do? And those kind of things. I'll tell you what happened to him. The Lord got him by the hand. And he walked with God. He said he wanted to go somewhere where he could be a last benefit to people. Maybe talk to them about the Lord. He thought maybe if he went to the VA... there, that he could go there and talk to the people. But that wasn't what the Lord chose for him. He didn't take him to his family up there either. He stayed right there at Green Bank. And he didn't have to go anywhere. They all come to him. All the years of that testimony, of the witness, started coming back to him. He died right there. And God was able to glorify his life. He glorified God. I saw grown men that I'd never met before, grown men from all walks, come to him and cry. Well, saints cry. You'll see tears in my eyes when I get passionate. I've seen all of them that I know well cry. I don't see it much out in the world, especially in men. They did there. They wept and cried for him because he witnessed And because God got him and put him in a place and fulfilled Brother Jim's last desire to be a benefit to God. He wanted to touch people and he couldn't do it no more. And so instead of the Lord having him go do it, he brought the fruit of his years back to him. God's real. Brother Jim testified about it and he's in the cloud. And he testifies to what God will do in your life if you'll trust him. And right down to the end, I'm telling you, I look at that situation and I marvel. Thank God. It ended in such a glory. We wondered how it would do and what would happen at the end of it. And God took it by the hand and took it all the way through. And the testimony lives on with us. So it comes down to the final part of the cloud, 2012. Is there anyone else for God to put in the cloud of witnesses? Is there anybody else that would dare to stand strong? Anybody going to stand and declare the whole counsel of God no matter what? You're going to stand and say, they did it in their age, and Lord, by your grace, I want to. I want to do it now. Lord, help me. I don't know what I'm going to face. You don't know what you're going to face either. But I know this. God's God. All the way back to the dawn of time, He was God to the men that trusted in Him. And He was God to the faithful. And He was God to the last generation. Sure, we can name D.S. Warner as part of the cloud. No problem with it. Those men that was faithful, I have in my life a lot of people. From Brother Ostis, that I was very thankful to know. Brother Sammons, that I actually had a few years to kind of follow him around the camp meetings. I thank God for that time that I had. But they're gone. They're already done their work. Now it's 2012 and the world's getting rougher. Who's going to stand and declare he's still God? Oh, I'm reading about scientists looking for the God particle and what it was, that little thing that they can't see that was instrumental in the creation, but the expanse of the universe. What, you laugh? To be honest with you, it challenges, that kind of stuff challenges me sometimes. But then there's God. I know what that stuff designed for. But it doesn't mean that it isn't powerfully being used. Lord, give me faith. And I'm going to say it one more time. I've said it a plenty. Folks, there is no substitute for a personal relationship with the Lord. Knowing the Scriptures is great. Knowing the Word, that's all those things is great. There's all things great. Going through all of it's great. There's no substitute for a personal relationship with the Lord. If you don't get in there and He don't answer your prayers and you don't find Him real for your own life and all those things, it ain't going to mean anything at the end of it. These men all knew God for themselves. They knew God for themselves. When Abraham held that knife back and he was going to slay him, he said he knew God was able to deliver, raise up the one that He had promised. God had promised and He's able to raise him again. And he went to that point, but God called him faithful. And a witness in the cloud. Pray that the Lord would take this message to our hearts and give us a stronger, deeper passion for the things of God and the willingness. And I want to say this too at this time. I believe this strongly. I think some things need to be settled. Settled in my life. I need to settle this thing in my life. Lord, I'm going to live for you, sink or swim. I'm living for you all the way, Lord. It's settled in my heart. I'm going through persecution. I'm going through whatever I have to. I know we're challenged. Folks, I had something happen to me. It was when Abby was born, our little girl.